Hello and welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Digital.
I'm Mender's Logic.
I'm Flopsy, and this is the podcast by PC Gamers for PC Gamers.
They're actually World of Warcraft cards.
Even nerdier.
Nerdier.
Yeah.
All right.
Nico slips out of the way, fellas.
Let's get Jack.
All right. All right. Let's get into this. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. If you are a subscriber to our show, first of all, thank you very much. And second of all, we could really use your help. We need comments and ratings on iTunes. We're really trying to promote ourselves, get ourselves out there, you know, get a lot more listeners. And that's a big way for that to happen is by helping people find us on iTunes. If you type in PC Gaming Podcast, I don't even know if we show up. We're like at the end, maybe. Subscribers, comments, ratings, all that will help. So if you like the podcast, go on iTunes. Just doesn't have to be long. Just something quick and brief. Just say, hey, these guys are all right. You know, they're okay.
Maybe these free games that you're giving away should be rewards for posting. And you don't even have to do something good. You can give us 1 star if you want. But just go on there and do something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and we should also mention that, too. You should join our Steam group as well because we are doing a weekly giveaway. It's official. It's going to be weekly now. And there are a lot of games on there, quite a few. People are jumping on it pretty quick. Got some good titles, especially this week. I moved it to Fridays, about 4 o'clock Pacific time. So look for that. It's going to be an announcement, so it should pop up on Steam, so you can't miss it. Check the list, 1 per customer per week. Got to be a member of the group at the time of the post. And what's the final rule? I mentioned it.
You got to rate and subscribe. I just made a new one.
Okay, there we go. Final rule, rate and subscribe. But yeah, definitely check that out. Got some choice games there. Oh yeah, first come, first serve. So be quick about it. If someone picks out a game, then they
awesome
get it first.
Awesome Knots is still sitting there, huh?
Yeah, still got Awesome Knots up
I
there.
I might need to pick that up from you.
Someone picked up Schools of the Shogun.
Hey, get in line, man.
Oh, sorry.
Got 2 copies of Xenoclash 2. I definitely endorse that game. I liked it a lot.
Is part one free?
It's $1.99 on Steam right now.
So might as well be.
Yeah, pretty much. It's always on sale for that much. Dead Island Epidemic was already picked up. Yeah, got some good games on here. Hard Reset already picked up. That's a solid game, too. Works great with NVIDIA 3D Vision as well.
You understand that you're doing an advertisement right now for free shit?
Yeah.
How crazy that sounds. Hey, come down and get our free shit.
Free shit.
Man. Here's a long list of the things you can get.
All right, anyway, we are not going to be able to make it through this podcast without talking about Watch Dogs.
Yeah,
that was the big release.
The big release.
Let me just say the headline that caught my eye, because I'm always on the PC front. Watch Dog, a hot mess on the PC. Stay away for now. So I think the Metascore would have been a lot higher, because doesn't it take into consideration the console and it cross-references it with the PC, right? That's the overall Metascore.
Yeah.
So I think the console ones were much higher, and then the PC ones were really low, and so you ended up. So it ended up hurt. Okay, Metascores make and break games, yeah. Largely. So
did you know there's a lot of devs now actually get bonuses based on the Metascore rating?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
and rightfully so, right?
I mean, it's a good indication on how well it's going to sell.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
That's a good job.
And so I mean. You develop the damn thing on a PC, so there's no excuse for having a shitty port of... It's not even a port. I mean, it was all done at the same time, right?
Well, I guess the question is, what is their main audience? If it's going to be mostly sold on consoles, then they're going to devote all their development and testing time on the consoles. Obviously, PC is the third wheel in this, right? They're pushing for... You know, PS4 and Xbox, so PC kind of gets the whatever's left after all that testing and development is.
Yeah.
What I found funny is that, you know, the Metascore is decent, which I tend to think has a lot to do with money. You know, I think that the Metascore can be artificially inflated from, you know, buying advertisements on gaming sites and stuff like that. But the user score, I've never seen it like that, where... It's got a ton of negative reviews. Like, it's either positive or negative. There's not very many neutral reviews there. a score of 4.5 for user score. That's just
Usually they're close. Usually the user score is a little bit higher than the Metascore.
Yeah.
This one's the opposite. It's actually about half of what the other one is. It's a 4.5, which it, let's call it what it is. It's 45 versus 81.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's interesting about that is I think a lot of the users, I don't see a lot of console. I don't know if this is just a, how I think of like console gamers is like teenagers or something, but I don't see somebody putting down the controller, going over to the computer and doing a Metascore, right? These are probably the PC users that just alt-tabbed and went over to Metacritic and said, fuck this game.
Yeah.
It runs like shit because it's full of bugs from what I hear, and it plays like a molasses.
I was very close to buying this game on the day of its release. I was seriously about to click the button, but what stopped me was I went to, I read some Steam reviews by users, and they were all thumbs down. The majority of them were complaining about bugs. Some were complaining about driving mechanics and things actually about the game. And I haven't played the game yet. I really can't criticize it, but it seems like there were a lot of bugs at release, and that really hurt them. And it seems to be mostly on the PC.
You know, another thing that they could have, maybe, I'm trying to like rationalize this whole thing, is the PC, we could always go back, well, I guess in consoles now too, but easier on the PC. We could just release a patch later on and fix that a lot easier than we can. The console release needs to be solid on day one. The PC, we could go back and fix
easier, yes, I think there is an element of that, but consoles have gotten to the point, I think a lot of the console games have gotten to the point where it's get it mostly there, release it, and patch it later, just like the PC games are. So I was able to play this for a couple hours. I wasn't played on my account, but I got to try it out on a friend's account. I was actually having a lot of fun with that. Maybe it's because I haven't played the GTAs recently, and so it kind of hit a nerve on that open world that I haven't scratched in a while. The graphics I really enjoyed. Like it's got the ultra realistic graphics like they do, but then it's got this kind of overlay of this high tech kind of UI interface looking thing.
Now, the world that it's in, is it near future or is it today?
It's today.
Okay.
If near future, like the next couple years at any time.
Gotcha.
So it takes place in Chicago, and it's got kind of Chicago's implemented this kind of universal network system that does everything. And you're the guy that's been able to hack into this system. And since the system controls everything, if you can get into it, you can see everything.
Right.
So it like from your bank account to the stoplights to parking to everything, controlling the gates up and down and the bridges. So you can basically control everything given enough time.
It's really interesting how we're seeing games that are basically commenting on what's going on in real life, the whole, you know, you get the NSA overwatching us and stuff, and it's on people's minds, and then you see art reflect culture.
Yeah.
Right.
And a lot of like the Call of Duties and the new, Tom Clancy's ones kind of have that kind of same kind of feel with the smart bomb, you know, like dirty bombs and all this kind of stuff.
I think
it's
been like that for a while. A lot of times video games have reflected what's in our culture.
I think art always does. And, you know, that's what it is.
Right? Like at the time of Space Invaders released, or even those old games like that, it kind of reflected, you know, people's paranoia of this technology that was just rapidly advancing, Russians invading, you know, things, Cold War, all that crazy stuff. But
So you
Emilio and I have not played this game at all. So Chad, you're the only one that has played this. And I mean, would you say that it's a fun game?
I was enjoying it. I was having a good time. It had such a big buildup that I think a lot of the negative is coming down. It's, you know, like you hear people tell you it's an awesome movie and then you go see it and inevitably
it's had not, so much hype. More hype than
in concept.
You know, when you hear the concept, you're like, wow, that's fucking awesome. So that's what all the hype was generated. It's like when I first heard about Spore, dude, I went off and I was like a fanboy about Spore 2 years out. Like when I heard the concept behind it, and you know, it kind of lived up to it, but nothing to the idea. What's going to live up to that idea that you build up? There's a threshold for how much hype you can endure without thinking that it's going to be. Except for the Oculus. Oculus is going to be way cooler.
Yeah, for sure.
Really cooler than I can imagine.
Well, things that are overhyped tend to always underwhelm us. And I think that's just natural.
And I think that's what happened here. And I blame, you know, the marketing people for trying to jump on it 2 years early, build everybody's expectations up.
At the same time, though, people are at E3 looking for something exciting, and this was the most exciting thing. Whatever is the most exciting thing at E3 is going to lead. But this was something somewhat new as well. So
yeah,
instead of superpowers, you have like hack powers.
Yeah, it kind of is like you have powers, but they do it through a hacking mechanic. They're realistic, or
it's grounded in a way.
Yeah,
and I'll be funny. I'll be honest. Like I played a couple hours. At least half of the time played, I was sitting in a dark room playing poker with three other guys in this like mini game, just because I got hooked on this mini game to play this poker. But it's got like all sorts of cool like mini games you can play. Like it's kind of got the Spider-Man mini game thing where you can see like crimes happening in place and kind of help
like
out.
Spider-Sense.
Exactly. Kind of, yeah. Do you remember that first Spider-Man game where you could like swing around and see crimes happen and go and save them, and you get, and it's got a like you can be either kind of good or bad depending on what you're doing. So if you're helping people out, you get more on the good side. And, you know, say you drive a car and hit a guy, kill a guy, you get more on the bad side. So it's kind of got...
what's interesting, too, is
kind of an
like,
infamous kind of feel to
just
it.
Just like in real life, you know, it's all, eventually, and there's going to be algorithms predicting crimes perfectly. They know where a crime is going to happen because... And that's what they're saying with this program that runs everything. So, like,
are we talking about precogs here from Minority Report?
That's what the concept in this show
is. No, so the idea is you intercept communication that would lead to you thinking that something's going to happen, and then you have to go up to the area, wait for it to occur, or wait for it to almost happen and stop it prior to it.
But you don't know for sure if that dude's going to pull the trigger or not. So, do you kill him or not? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so it's
there's a moral choice there.
So it's got a scene that I went through where I'm hiding behind a car and it's got kind of this meter. So this UI interface is kind of popped up right in front of your face, and it's got this UI interface of a percentage going up of a crime going to happen. And when it hits 80%, it's like the guy's like, oh, you better stop this. This is going to happen.
Who's the guy?
You're talking to another, you're talking another to another hacker sort of thing. And also... your main character has internal dialogue that you hear. So he's saying...
So you're hearing two voices total.
Sometimes you're talking to the guy, and sometimes you hear your own internal dialogue saying, oh, I better stop this guy, you know, because it's going to happen. But I think a lot of the downside is, at the end of the day, it's just a sandbox game just like GTA. And is it really done with the amount of... the level of polish that the Rockstar GTA games do.
Yeah, under what, seventh incarnation?
Yeah,
I was never really a big fan of these type of games. I was not excited at all for Watch Dogs, despite the hype. I'm maybe speaking out of turn here. This is my opinion, but I'm going to say it like it's a fact. I think Ubisoft is just an advertising powerhouse. They're a big business. Yeah. So
they know how to make money.
Yeah, you know, they're used to that franchise money. So this is on sides of buses. This is on billboards. This is on, they got a big spread on Steam on release day. This is everywhere. I had so many people ask me, did you get Watch Dogs? What do you think? Did you get Watch Dogs? It was on everybody's
viral
lips.
Media.
Yeah, just viral media. This was everywhere. They advertised the hell out of it.
And there's even a bomb threat. Did you guys hear about that?
No.
I don't know if it was the viral marketing or it was just a side effect of something, but somebody said that there was a bomb somewhere, and this is real. This was in, like, I read this off of something legit, and so they went in and undid the bomb, and inside was Watch Dogs propaganda. So I don't know who did it, like who put the thing and called it. Yeah, it's really weird.
It couldn't have been Ubisoft. They would never have something to do with that. Absolutely. But, wow, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, that came out today. That happened today or yesterday. Yeah.
Jeez. But regardless, they advertised the hell out of this. So anytime you just get something kind of forced down your throat, the natural reaction is to somewhat reject it. The big question
your
that I
had... Your natural reaction is to reject
it. Well, yeah. But I think most people, like anytime... Like if you have not seen Breaking Bad by now, you're probably sick of people telling you how good it is, honestly.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah. But my big question is, does this game differentiate itself enough from GTA, from Saints Row, from everything else that's out there already?
Well, it's a more serious take on it, right? So if you didn't like the campy nature of those games, maybe you would like this.
So the other thing that I noted is this game tries to hook you emotionally. So right off the bat, you see the guy doing an armed, not an armed robbery. He They're hacking the main character. Him and this other and his like mentor is in a bank, and they're hacking this bank, and they're stealing money. It gets caught by a trace route, you know. It gets caught by another hacker, and right in the opening credits, you see the main character and his nephew get shot at in a car accident. Nephew just dies right off the bat. It's trying to hook you emotionally. But they do it so poorly that there was no emotional impact there. And then one of the first missions, you meet up with your sister, who's the mother of the child that died. Mm-hmm. And there's some interplay there. And I know they're trying to get you emotionally invested in this, but it just is not. It's failing.
Yeah. Would it be like maybe the difference between watching somebody die in Transformers 3 and watching somebody die in like a foreign flick that's black and white?
Yeah.
Like it would just have more gravity.
Yeah. You know, some games really can play up the emotional aspect, but this game just did not. Like, you saw this first scene, and then it cuts it during the opening credits. You see, like, the car accident and the kid die. And you're like, if I'm watching this during the opening credits, obviously, you know, it doesn't have that same emotional
impact.
Maybe
it's just showing you the motivation.
And it is, because the whole thing that he's a vigilante and he's trying to find who did this, like, that's the whole, like, story. That's the whole like impact of him, but it just didn't play very well to me.
Well, I've heard other people criticize that as well, saying that at times the character that you play will be doing really noble things that make him look good, but you can also do really bad things as well. And it's just kind of this contrast that doesn't play over very well. It's like, who is this guy? You know, one minute he's robbing an old lady, the next minute he's saving a cat.
Isn't that
up
to you though?
I don't know. Is it?
It is, but the campaign is not up to you. So, like, in the very first mission, not the first mission, the very first opening scene that you can control,
mm-hmm.
he's in there with the guy that, 11 months later, he's in there with the guy that he found that shot the car, that rolled over
he's
and caused
where?
The accident. It's him and that guy.
Where?
They're doing a job together? No. It's a confrontation.
Oh, I see.
So you're beating this guy up. And the first thing that you can do is point the gun at him, and it gives you only one option, is to pull the trigger.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. And
are you sure?
And I'm trying to do anything else, because that's not how I play the game. I'm never the guy that kills the people.
Yeah,
I
can't pay the heel, man. I can never do it.
And there's no other option. And so finally I'm like, fuck, okay, so let me shoot this guy in the foot. You know, maybe that you can control where you shoot the guy.
Right.
So it says
pretty good. I like that.
So I push the button and it does the click, like the empty chamber click.
Oh, God, come on!
But like
both of us at the same time, we're like, oh no.
You'd think if you were given a choice, like later on in the game, you know, you can do good things and bad things. It's got a chart. You'd think you'd start off the game right with that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you said the main character's name was Aiden.
Aiden, I think.
Yeah, that's such a millennial name.
Yeah, so many kids. Dude, I know so many. Okay, so let's wrap this up. I would say let's punish these people for like not doing a good PC version. Wait till it goes on sale. Wait till the patches go through. I'm sure there's a lot of potential there. And then pick up the game. I would say it's probably going to be a great game in 6 months.
You know, I'm not going to criticize it over bugs. That'll be fixed eventually. It's not my type of game. It's not something that I would really praise, but I could see some people enjoying it.
How far did you get in the GTA series? I remember
Miami Vice. Almost beat it.
Not Miami Vice. Vice City.
Vice City.
Oh, Vice City. Yeah, Miami Vice. Well, same thing pretty much. Come on. Yeah, I almost beat the game. But really, that's like the extent of my GTA experience. A little bit of GTA 3 on like the PS2 or something way back in the day, but
yeah,
you're just not an open world sandbox sort of guy.
No, like Prototype.
No, he's not.
Infamous, Saints Row. I don't like those kind of games.
Do you just need more direction? Is that kind of what?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to narrow it down to just that.
Ooh, shiny! Ooh, shiny! Ooh, shiny! Like on Skyrim, you said he didn't know what the main quest line of it.
Okay.
Skyrim. I was just
kind of wondering. So you get distracted by everything else, and then you never play.
Well, I like to do everything in a game, and with Skyrim, it's just like I got to go through all the shelves on the bookcase.
Did we have to bring up Skyrim?
Yeah, this guy's got to work it in every chance he gets.
I've been playing a lot lately too. I put up some screenshots on this Steam forum, our Steam group, so
yeah,
check those out.
Yeah, I noticed you were putting up screenshots. I remember we were talking about it before, and you were...
Yeah, I lost some really good ones, but I'll work on it and get some good ones up there.
Nice.
So how about you, Bobby? What have you been playing?
Well, I have been playing more of Wolfenstein The New Order. My opinion is pretty much the same as when I talked about
it. How many more hours have you put in since last time we spoke?
Maybe four? Okay. So I think I'm about 7 or 8 hours into the game, so maybe six.
So you should be almost done, right?
I am halfway through the game. About.
Wow, that is solid for a first-person shooter.
It's a fairly long game.
In mind, there's no multiplayer. It's only a first-person.
No, I know, but it's only most of them... When I think of a first-person AAA title, I think 9 hours. I
don't 8 know to 12 that... hours is standard for that.
So what are we talking
Sometimes
about?
Sometimes six on a Call of Duty game.
What are you talking, like 13, 14 hours?
I think I'm going to end up around 14,
That's a lot of bang for your buck.
I'm going
right
through it very thoroughly, though. And
I can't wait to play it on your account.
right?
But I was like, that was totally worth the download.
Yeah, 40, I don't know if we mentioned that last week, but 40 gigs for the installation file.
More than that, right?
It's huge.
46 or something?
40 gigs for the installation file. I don't know if it uncompresses and becomes bigger once you get it on your computer. But this is running the id Tech 5 engine, and I haven't seen this since Rage. And the big problem people had with Rage was the texture pop-in. You turn your head too fast, and the textures are blurry, and then the resolution kicks.
Well, there was also that other thing of it's sucking totally.
Oh, the game not being very good. Yeah, I don't know. Some people like the game, but
one of the last games that I hacked, actually the last one, I was like, this wasn't even worth the download. Speaking of which, I want to tie both those things together. Is so 100,000 people at least pirated Wolfenstein, which is actually lower than most.
That seems low.
Yeah, it is low. And why? Because it's a popular game. It was number one on Steam until Watch Dogs came out. It's the file size.
Yeah.
The file size itself is its own deterrent. It's kind of like Brontosaurus's Don't Get Eaten, because their natural defense is its size, right? Same thing. It's like people... it's funny. The article that I read was that it said... it had some quotes from people that on Pirate Bay saying like, fuck, I could download 10 games in the time it would take to download. And all this like negative reviews on a free game for them, you know? Uh-huh. So that's an interesting little thing that until pipes get thicker and we get more bandwidth, maybe that's one way they can do it.
Yeah. You know? Well, the bandwidth is out there. You just got to pay for it. And if you're not shelling out money for a video game, then chances are you're not shelling out money for high-speed internet as well.
So Watchdog, I heard... The people that bought it legitimately were having problems connecting to Ubisoft servers and getting, authenticated or whatever through their system. But the pirated people were having no issues.
I had a similar case with, what game was that? Dead Space 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Dead Space... No, it might have been Dead Space 3. It was one of the Dead Space games. I had it on Origin. Origin was having some issue with installing, which they often did. I don't know if that's still the case. But I ended up downloading a pirated copy of it, putting the installation files in the right directory, going back to Origin, telling it to download, and Origin was like, oh, look, it's already here. There you go. Go ahead and play your game. So, yeah, sometimes piracy is the good guy.
Wow. So, Wolfenstein.
So, Wolfenstein, still not liking the perk system at all. I'm still running around.
You were undecided, and now you're decided.
I was pretty well decided last podcast, but now I am definitely firm in that decision. And I noticed something as well. You have to get all these achievements to unlock these perks. If you die, you still get the achievement and the unlocked perk. So, I would go up to a commander, backstab him, run out and die, respawn... And go
back,
stab him again until I got like 5 stealth kills on a commander.
Now, Bobby, is this a fault of the game or your mentality, you think? Because you're such a completionist and matched up with this game type. It makes it a shitty experience. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. And I think you could not get the perks and still just play through this game organically, naturally, and get whatever perks that you happen to get.
Let me just say... I would be pausing and checking and trying to get them as well.
Oh, I think most people would. Yeah. I think you could go through this game not getting all the perks early on, and you could still... It's not a very difficult game at all. And the perks are not...
And you're playing on normal, right?
I'm playing on normal mode.
And we've all agreed that playing on normal is more about saving time than it is not wanting a challenge.
Yeah, right? It's single player. What have you got to prove? But
I got to... I gotta prove a lot to myself,
I suppose. But yeah, so I'm still not a fan of the perk system and the whole achievement thing, but that's their decision. The game is fun, though.
Single player right now.
Wow. We went there. Okay.
They do manage to work in some humor with this game, which I think is important. Everything
How could
is,
you not with B.J. Pascal?
I know, yeah. Right?
I thought that was a sex move.
They have a few references to things. The original Wolfenstein game, if you take a nap in a bed at this safe house that you reach, you have a nightmare that's you having a flashback to when you were in the Nazi internment camp or the Nazi prison, which puts you in the old Wolfenstein 3D game. I've got a screenshot on my profile you can see, but you're basically playing the first level of Wolfenstein 3D.
Which kicked its ass because you've played it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude, I ran right through it. Yeah. I got all the secrets. Nailed it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. It was the exact level?
The exact
level. And you remembered it?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Well, he was saying that's one of his favorite games. He's probably played it 100 times.
I actually recently, before New Order came out, I played a couple levels in 3D not too long ago. So it was fresh. But they also have a Beatles reference. It's an alternate reality. So the Beatles still happened, but they're forced by the Germans to sing in German make songs that support the Reich or the Reich.
The Third Reich.
Okay. Yeah, my German's terrible, apparently. But yeah, so they threw in some stuff like that, which I thought was funny. And there was just a random Easter egg. I found this car that was on bricks. No wheels. It's just sitting there. No engine. It's gutted. And I noticed I could interact with the steering wheel. So I did. And the character hops into it, pretends like he's driving. He's just like, vroom, vroom. Pretends like he's honking the horn, honk, honk. And he leans out the window, pretends like he's hitting on some girl.
That's
like,
awesome.
Yeah. It kind of breaks the tension a little bit, and you got to have that in these really serious games. So I thought that was a good thing.
So wait, is it a serious or is it campy? What's going on here?
It's definitely serious, but in any like horror movie or drama, they always have a few funny parts.
If you're good, you poke fun at yourself at some point.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I think they did it very well. I'm still only halfway through the game. It seems like they do kind of have some boss fights and stuff. The whole dual wielding thing is cool.
So let's say on your scale, 1 to 10.
Oh, I thought about this. We should do the scale DL or no DL. Download or no DL.
You should bring dumb ideas up before we start. Yeah. And see, now that's recorded.
Okay.
And we can play that back
for Bobby, DL or no DL?
Well, when you say download, it sounds like I'm encouraging people to go pirate this game.
You know what I mean.
I'm going to say yes, DL on this.
Yeah, but that's yay or nay. I mean, if you there's a lot of things you could go yay and nay, and you have to kind of go...
Yeah, I am way on the yay side.
So other than the perk issue you have, you're having fun with it.
Absolutely. I am having a blast with this. I'm having a blast of wits with this. A BJ Blaskowitz.
Wow, that just happened.
But it is, it's my kind of game. These first-person shooters are my kind of game.
Cool.
All right.
So I've been playing a couple things. The big one that I played this week was Child of Light. Child of Light I brought up a couple weeks ago. When we were talking about, is art a great artistic style worth...
Enough to carry something.
Enough to carry.
Or support a purchase,
yeah.
I think is what we talked about.
Yeah. So I was playing Transistor, and I got to be able to play this one, and I started playing this, and I put Transistor down, and so I played this all the way through. Probably like 10 hours, 12 hours or so of this game.
When did you do this?
I did.
Okay.
After work.
What was that?
So, first of all, the art is awesome. It's kind of a watercolor. It looks kind of like pictures, but they're moving pictures, basically. You know, it's kind of got this watercolor style. Really cool. So it's a 2D side-scroller, like I said a couple weeks ago. But they've got enemies. And so if you touch the enemy, then you go into the fight. So it's like Final Fantasy or whatever. So
does it look like that? The whole game looks like that art style?
Yeah. Wow. It's got that,
click on images, Bobby, if you could.
That watercolor style. So you've got this little guy that's falling around with you, this little like sprite guy, and you can control him yourself. So I was using a controller. The right stick basically controlled my other guy, and you could get somebody else to do that other guy if you wanted.
Okay.
And there's a couple...
Kind of like brothers.
It's kind of like Mario... You know, where you could have the other person picking up.
Yeah.
But he could.
Wow! So the whole game looks like this. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's.
It looks like hand painted. Hand painted art.
So this little guy. One of the things you could do with him, he can shine. So if you put him, but he can't touch or do anything. So if you shine, yeah, sort of. So if you shine in front of the enemy like cowers, and so you can walk up to the enemy, and then when they stop cowering, you go into a fight, but you surprise the enemy. So then you get better turns to start to open up the.
That's exactly how South Park is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was like, turn-based RPG, this, you know, doesn't really interest me.
Right.
So you can have up to two people in your party and up to three enemies, right? So it's two versus three for most of the time. But they do something really cool. They've got a timer bar on the bottom. So you can see the portraits, and they're moving across the screen, and then they get to the end, to the line that says they can perform an action, right? But the bar doesn't end there. After that, it's got a small section that's called cast time, right?
Okay.
So the thing is, if you can finish your cast while somebody is in the middle of the cast bar, mm-hmm. it interrupts that person and forces them back to the start. So it's kind of a game to try to do your actions while they're casting, and if you do that
like
well enough...
Like a minigame inside of turn-based
exactly.
RPG.
But if you do that well enough, they never get an action, because they're constantly being interrupted, because everything has a cast time.
Now, did you feel... Okay, so you played this all the way through. Did you feel like that mechanic broke the game a little bit, because you got so good at it that...
No, because most of the bosses will do functions that if you... Some creatures will counter you if you interrupt them. So they'll be interrupted, but then they'll do an attack anyways.
Okay.
And some of them will protect against interruption, and you can't counter them.
But you're better off with the attack that they do in response than you would have if they would have.
No, not necessarily.
Oh, I see.
Generally speaking, you can do magic and you can do physical. Some of them will counter physical. Some of them will counter magic. So you kind of have to know what this enemy does and how to counter them.
It's kind of like that guy in Borderlands where you shoot his head off and he's worse if you shot his head
off.
Yeah,
exactly. But the trick is your little guy. So you've got three enemies.
Is he the second one in your party when you're on the
No, he's independent.
Oh, okay.
So your little guy, if you shine your light on a guy, it'll slow down his timer. So you're doing a game where you're trying to use your little guy to slow down the timers, but you've got three guys, enemies, moving all independently. So you're trying to control which your guys get slowed down and time it correctly.
It seems like they introduced a little bit of RTS into turn-based RPG.
I wouldn't say RTS. It's
real-time shooting, no?
It's more like a shell game. Like, you got to figure out in your head which guy I need to slow down, how much I need to slow them down, because... The cat different abilities have different cast times also. So depending on if I do a short cast time, a medium cast time, a long time or cast time, or a very long cast time.
Oh, because they can interrupt you.
Exactly. And also his little shine has a bar that can run out, so you've got to keep that in mind too. So it's turn based, but it's got a lot of elements that you're going on the fly about. So
that's pretty cool.
It had a really cool mechanic. And so I got into this game, and I started playing it, and I was loving it.
What'd you pay for it?
It was...
I think it's $14.99. I'm not positive on that. Let me look it up.
I'm glad you enjoyed something so much.
Okay,
so
I'm not done yet.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
So I played this over 3 days.
And then?
Both the first 2 days, I stopped because it crashed on me, and so I stopped playing.
It's a Steam game, right?
So yeah,
and
so
it crashes on you.
Yeah,
wow.
So the third night, I'm at the end boss. I die to the end boss, and I need to level up some skills and do a couple things. So I do a couple things. Go to the last boss. The thing crashes on me again. I'm like
during the fight.
Oh, loading into the fight.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like fuck. So I go to boot it up again. My data's corrupted and gone. So. I mean, I really want to recommend this game, how do you recommend a game that lets me get all the way to the end of the game, then corrupts my data?
So you didn't finish it.
I've never seen the end. I don't know what
the
end is.
I mean, you could YouTube it.
I could, yeah. So, yeah. I really enjoyed the game, but at the same time, it's like, how do you make a game that crashes three nights in a row, and on the third night, erases my data.
Dude, I just felt so much empathy for you, but like had an ex-girlfriend of you or yours, if you said that to her, she'd be like, what the fuck are you talking
yeah.
about?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so...
It looks gorgeous. You know, it reminds me of Trine, but even prettier because it looks hand-done.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is using the same game engine that they used on Rayman.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can see
the art one. I mean, it's got a little bit of different of a art style to it. But, yeah, this is also by Ubisoft and, yeah, Ubisoft Montreal.
Yeah, so I will recommend this. I will say DL this game, but...
That's not staying. That is not staying.
I'm getting this to work. However... Keep in mind, back up your save. Keep in mind that you have a chance that you'll lose everything on the last boss.
Game
that,
save manager.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, listen to Bobby next time.
I always got to plug that.
So there's no cloud saving on that game, apparently.
I was...
Not natively on Steam. It'll let you know in Steam if there is.
Only you would look something up like that, Bobby.
So
that stuff's important, man.
That was the game that I played mostly this week. However, I did play a couple other games that I don't want to get into real short. Not a whole lot of time spent on them. One of the games I played briefly was Trials Fusion. I talked about this at the same time that I talked about Child of Light. I had never played any of the Trials game before. The graphics are really nice, but they're nice because the game's so short. Like, the levels aren't very long, so you can tell they've spent a lot of time putting in a lot of detail to these levels.
I had never even taken a look at this until, and I still haven't, but what we came up to about was like, it's kind of like Excitebike, right?
It's
like a modern day.
I would think of it more of a perfectionist game, and this is the game that kind of like 8 Second Ninja.
Oh, okay.
You know those type of games where the missions are really short, and there's a lot of ways to cut the time down and be a little bit more precise.
Get 3 stars.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's got a bronze, silver, gold. But then also you can upgrade your bike to make your bike stronger. So then you have to go back and do them to try to get better.
I'll pass.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the genre of that, of what you just said.
So it's all about, you're basically hole and go for the most part and trying to make sure your bike doesn't flip over
right. And
crash. And you're trying to get through them perfectly. Time it right so you're landing on the jumps correctly and everything like that. And so that's basically all it is. However, I think there is quite a bit of replayability. Each track has 3 separate challenges that you can do on top of the bronze, silver, and gold. You also can see your friend's shadow. So if your friends have played game, you can see their shadow, yeah. So you can try to beat them on the fly.
What's cool about this is like iPhone games have had that forever, right? Mm-hmm. We'll take it back to like that jumping game.
Doodle Jumper.
You could see the marks where your friends had, like, catch up PC gaming. Like, all my Steam friends, like, I should be able to see their watermarks, right?
Yeah.
That would be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, this game also has a really robust editor. Anything that they basically say, we made the game using the same tools we're giving you.
There's more and more of that going on.
Yeah.
I love it.
So, there's literally hundreds of thousands of player-made tracks. And you can like them and dislike them. So if you like the game, you could play new tracks until you die.
Did you pay? Did you pay for this?
No. This one's free. Yeah.
Now, how are they making money?
Well, this is a $20 game.
Oh, that's what I was. No. That's what I meant. The whole game. How much is it?
It's $20.
Okay.
And then they've got.
Are you glad you bought it, or are you?
I'm glad I played it. It's fun to play. It's not like it didn't hold my attention. It just gets repetitive. You hold go, and then you try to keep your car right. up. The one thing I thought was funny is every time you get to the end of the track, they kill the driver in some like crazy, interesting way.
It's like Nidhogg.
Yeah, like they they hate the rider on this game.
Yeah.
Every time he like throws into the pit or falls off a cliff.
Is it a giant worm penis?
Not, I didn't see one, but
okay, that's what happens in Nidhogg.
Every time.
Hey, you won! Giant worm penis.
I don't recommend this game, but if you're into the kind of perfectionist game where you do it again and again...
I don't think anybody's into that type of game.
Somebody is. Angry Birds is the definition of
You start playing, and it happens to be that kind of game, and then you fucking spend $77 on fucking extra wings for your Angry Birds.
Yeah. And then one more game I played... was How to Survive. Bobby, it said you own this game.
No, he buys things. Whether or not he's played them, would you say 80% you haven't played or something?
Yeah, a lot of them. But I did play a little bit of it, but hardly any of it. I mainly loaded it up for card drops.
Gotcha. So this was on sale this week. It was like a midweek sale for like $3.49 or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So I picked it up because it just appealed to me for some reason. And this is zombie game. And yeah. So to say it appealed to me,
so you know how I
said something, because I hate zombie games.
I missed the sale completely. I would have bought it for that for sure.
And I wish you had, because you can play co-op mode in this two-player co-op.
It's bought. It's sitting right there, and it doesn't even know it's bought.
Yeah. So I've stopped playing it now twice because I've said two times, like, oh, I want to play this with Amelia. I don't want to play this by myself. Yeah.
Aww.
So the graphics are decent. It's an isometric view. They're going for realism, but it's not like, it's not a system hog. It just looks nice, but it's got
the job done.
Yeah, but I'm not disappointed at all in the graphics. And, okay. and the sound effects are actually pretty good. You can hear the zombies off in the distance. It's got day-night cycles, which is kind of cool. It's kind of got this humorous vibe a little bit. Do you remember Borderlands? It's kind of got Borderlands has got kind of the ultra-violent stuff, but then it's got the kind of campy...
Yeah.
It's got that same thing. You get these books called Kovacs. It's Kovacs Survival Guide, and he tells you basically how to survive. But it's got this like cheesy music, and it's
does
got,
it help.
Yeah, it does help, but it's nothing that you couldn't figure out on your own. But it's got a nice feel to
it. Does it seem realistic? That's what I love about. Like, I love realism for some reason.
So it's got a health bar and a stamina bar, so you can only run for so long. But then it also has a food meter, a water thirst meter, and a sleep meter. So you've got to be hunting for food, you've got to be looking for water, and you've got to be sleeping periodically. It's got a pretty robust crafting system. Like, there's no weapons, because it's on this island. So you make a shotgun from...
Hey, Bobby, island.
Yeah.
Is it tropical?
It's tropical-ish.
There you go.
It's not tropical enough. Played the game.
So you've got to actually craft weapons, so... You're picking up items, you're picking up, ammunition and everything else. So the crafting system was pretty robust. I played a couple, about 2 hours so far of this game, and was having a lot of fun.
But it would be more fun to co-op.
I think it would be more fun playing on a controller, because it's basically a twin-stick shooter. I mean, I kind of wish that we could play it on big picture mode out in the living room or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But right now I recommend this game, and I want you to pick it up and play it, man.
Damn, you should have told me when it was on sale.
I didn't realize it was good until I started
playing. Speaking on sales and stuff, now that you've played a little bit of Binding of Isaac, mm-hmm. would you say that's not the best 99 cents you could spend?
I really want to say no, because...
You hate the concept.
Because it looks so like cheesy. Yeah. And, like, but, man, hard to stop playing that game.
Well, I think it was a Saturday. I was like, hey, Chad, come try this one time. He sat there for like 2 hours, and I watched him... like. Gleefully watching him get tortured the whole time.
I got to level 5 was the most.
This motherfucker, Bobby. This motherfucker. Level 1. He walked out of the level 1 with like lasers, quad shot. Level 3 meat boy. Level 3 meat boy, which means he had to get the meat cube 3 times to build a meat boy. This meat boy was running around killing shit for him. I really wanted to say... Chad, let me take over so I can win the game. But because he wasn't good at like the controls
yet. Yeah, I'm not.
Okay, so when I'm done with my runs, I look. Okay, so this last one run, I got something, pageant queen. So I turned pink and I had a little crown.
Tiara.
Yeah. And then I got stigmata. So I had bloody eyes. And I was Dracula. So I was a pink Dracula with bloody eyes. This motherfucker is looking like a cyborg. With fucking shit floating all. Oh, and he had attack flies.
Yeah.
And he had these flies. He had the meat cube. He had laser vision. And I was
four eyes.
If you don't beat the game, Jack. Like, I was so upset. I've never had a run that good.
Yeah.
Wow. But it was like his fifth run.
Yeah, and I died on level 5, I think, on that one.
How many levels are there?
There's 7 now.
7 with the expansion pack.
But I think you fight mom on 5? You did fight mom, didn't you?
No, you got to mom.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been playing.
I do like that Chad's going out and spending money and paying these games and actually talking about them. Bobby just goes out, pays for the games, and doesn't talk about them.
Yeah, I play them.
And then me, I don't know where I'm at. I'm somewhere in the middle.
You're hooked on Smite.
Smite and Skyrim. But I did beat Stick of Truth last night, and I stayed up pretty fucking late doing it. Is that one thing where I was like, I can kind of sniff the end is coming, you know? Yeah. I was at the bottom of that treehouse.
It really starts to ramp up, yeah.
And, you know, we'll talk about, maybe we'll get into level design next week, but as far as level design, being in that man's anus was so rewarding. Let me reword that. No, but like one of the last levels is inside a slave man's ass or whatever.
Did he sit on you and...
No, you're mini.
Oh.
And yeah,
you have the option to walk out and not go in there. Did you do that?
No. Oh, yeah, yeah. And everything blows up, right?
It just blows up and cuts to the credits.
Yeah. You really don't have a choice is what it comes down to. As far as level design, I don't think I've ever been grossed out that repetitively, that quickly, the entire time. Like, okay, the first floor, you're like, oh, my God, that's gross. Then you get to the second floor. Whew! The third floor. And it's just weirder and grosser. And then, like, there's a cell phone in there. Oh, it's gross. It's so gross. But it's good level design because it's invoking emotion.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes sense, I guess.
Yeah.
So he's like, before you go in, he's like, might be some bats up there. I got drunk the other night. You know?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we should definitely get into level design more on another podcast because there's a lot to talk about when it comes to that.
For sure.
For now, we actually had some questions from a listener that I'd like to get into. Let's pull that up. And again, you can post those. You can email those to us or you can post that in our Steam group.
He brought up cheating in general, and I have a lot of thoughts on this. So I think there's extremes in everything, and the answer is almost always right in the middle. It doesn't matter what we're talking about, war, it doesn't matter, cheating. You have your two extremes, and then there's a money spot right in the middle. I find myself to be more on the anti-cheating side. If there's something you could take advantage of, what's called not a glitch, but you take advantage of the glitch. It's called something.
Exploit.
An exploit, yeah. If there's an exploit, I actively avoid the exploit almost always.
Are we talking single player or multiplayer?
Doesn't matter.
I think it makes a difference.
Yeah,
single player, you can do what you want. But
you can, but I even avoid that.
I will mock you if you cheat on single player, because who are you cheating against other than yourself?
Yeah. You're ruining the experience for yourself. That's the way I feel.
But if you want to do it, feel free. Like, it's not hurting anybody else's
experience. If it makes you happier, then go for it. Yeah, absolutely. You will be openly mocked. I mean, don't put it on the Steam group.
Yeah.
But
if you're going for a speed run, I think it's legal to use exploits. If you're going for
Why'd you say the word legal? That was an interesting one.
Because some people say, no, you can't use exploits or glitches on a speed run. It's got to be all natural. Some people say, no, it's totally okay. And I think it's fine. I think you take whatever advantage you can.
But couldn't you just put in 100% wall hacks, no clipping, and just walk to the last boss and kill him then?
No, but that
would
that's
still be we're talking about level hacks. Exploits, I think. Yeah, that's actually using
hacks. Oh, now I took it too far.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, there must be...
Yeah, if you're talking about single player, it's definitely different than multiplayer. Single player, knock yourself out. That's a single player experience. That's between you and the computer. You know, you do whatever you want.
Do whatever makes you happy on a single player.
I mean,
just don't brag about it.
But multiplayer is a different thing. Like, multiplayer, you're impacting other people's experience.
Man.
And I've stopped playing games because of hacking. But I don't put it all on the players. If there's a will, there's a way. You know, if there's any chance to cheat, people will do it.
I mean, there's that saying in professional athletics, if you're not cheating, you're not trying hard enough, you know?
Like, yeah.
That's why you have, it's like taking drugs or whatever to get stronger.
Steroids.
Steroids.
And I think, like, that's a good example. Like, there's all these rules in place and all these repercussions if you do it. So now there's a huge risk involved, and gaming should be the same way. If you want to cheat, go ahead and try, but if you get caught cheating, you should, you know, there should be repercussions.
You should never be able to play that.
Like the back system that they have for
which is pretty solid. That shit does not go away. I've seen people with a VAC ban on their profile that was from years ago.
Yeah.
So it's like a mark on you that really damages credibility, I suppose, but it just makes people aware of that. And
let's run it down real quick. Have you guys ever even considered installing an aimbot or anything?
No.
Even considered?
I don't play enough first
person shooters. Bobby's about to be honest right now. Real talk right now.
No. That, it never really appealed to me. You have to spend a lot of time getting these things installed and getting them working and stuff.
Now, oh, that's what sets you back? All right.
Oh, that, and yeah, there. It will ruin the game. I mean, how long can
the
that be
the only time for? That I've thought about it, I was playing Star Wars Galaxies. I might have said this already. And I was a chef. And
of course you were.
And the guy that was using hacks.
No, they weren't hacks. Those were
macros.
Macros, right?
No.
Oh.
They were doing screen clickers and stuff and just letting their computer run 24 hours a day.
That's totally worth it. I would totally do that. That's poor level design.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, so I never did that, but I thought about doing it because he basically overtook me in one day after my month-long flight.
In Skyrim, like I'm about to get to my Ebony. So I'm a blacksmith. I'm about to get to Ebony, which is pretty high up right before. There's a new playthrough. No judging. So I'm about to get to Ebony. And I'm like, I could totally fucking just go get the mod and click my blacksmith into 100 and do Dragonbound. But I'm kind of excited that I only have Ebony gloves and everything else is from the last set.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why I'm excited. Like, it's all, like, set up.
Well, because, so, we play games to challenge ourselves. Like, that's, like, to do these, because it satisfies our primal need to challenge and to...
They hijack our reward system.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you're cheating...
We would all be CEOs of something if we didn't play video games.
I'm not sure about that. But I think there's a reason that people cheat, and I think it fulfills one of the four gamer types is the griefing gamer, and I think...
I wish I understood them better.
Dude. But there is a legitimate type of gamer that enjoys causing stress on other people. And I think this fills that need for them.
Let me break this down for you real quick. So I used to work nights at a grocery store. So we would bring, my friend would bring in Mario Kart on N64 and put it on the little TV we had in the break room. Yeah, I know. And we would play it like nonstop. One day our boss walks in, we're on lunch, whatever. And he's like, oh, you guys played Mario Kart. I'll bring a controller tomorrow. I was like, oh, shit, this guy fucking plays Mario Kart. So we're playing on one of the tracks where you could jump over the wall and, like, get the lap done in a tenth of the time because there was a glitch in the game, right? And we're like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, you guys don't know about this? Like, I win every time. I'll win every time because I know how to do this glitch. It's like... Yeah, we know about the glitch, dude. We actively don't use it because it doesn't reflect skill or, you know, and we never played together again. Like, he was so, like, locked into being able to use the glitch. Like, whoever could use the glitch the best was the best player.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Yeah.
We had a falling out. Harsh words. Controllers were thrown.
Oh, shit, should I bring this up? Yeah, fuck it.
Probably. So, well, okay.
Probably not.
He got upset. Oh, the other guy I was playing with. He was, this is the type of guy that when you're playing, I beat him at chess and he picked up the chessboard and threw it on the floor. That kind of guy. So.
We all know that guy.
Yeah. So. Yeah, Chad. So, he gets his controller after one of these lunches that we play Mario Kart, swings it around his head like a lasso, and slams it on the ground, and it breaks into pieces. Another one of our bosses, not the same guy, walks in, and he's like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? And he's like, I just lost at the game. And it's like, there's no excuses for that. I was like, I was just trying to look as small as possible.
We've all been there, though. You fall in the Super Mario hole.
I've never raged like that, dude.
Speak for yourself.
Crushing controllers.
He had another question. Yeah.
Well, before we slip into that, I want to talk one more point on that. I did use a lot of cheats on Jedi Knight when I used to play multiplayer because they had specified rooms for that. And in that kind of situation, I think that's okay. And that was actually really fun because kinda it was like, kind of a modding thing.
Yeah, kind of like the Counter-Strike servers you get into and they had like X-Men powers.
Yeah.
They weren't cheats. They were part of the server.
Well, it almost became a game because these files for the game were easily moddable. You open them up in a text editor and it was pretty easy to figure out how to modify them and do what you wanted to do with it. So it kind of became a battle of who could mod the files the best. You know, it was really easy to figure out how to
like
make yourself...
Game.
Yeah, kind of. You'd figure out pretty easily how to make yourself invincible, but then other people would find ways to write code in different parts of these. They're called COG files, COG files, and that could override that and somehow kill you. So it kind of became this game, and you could make guns shoot like lightning and a million rockets, and like all these strange things happen.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was like a whole different game. So
like who's best at cheating?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think if it's a place where it's allowed and it's an understanding between everyone, then yeah, absolutely. That's a fun multiplayer cheating experience.
I think they have a reality show. It's called The Best Housewives or whatever. Who's best at cheating?
Wow, that was a stretch.
Yeah.
Let's get into his other question because I was kind of interested in that.
All right, calm down. You've been talking about this.
I want to talk about it.
Okay, so it says.
But your drink is delicious.
It's true.
All right, so he says, what video game would you like to see have the Smite system adapted to? By this, I think he means a MOBA game created out of. What kind of theme would we like to see a MOBA game? He offers some suggestions. Final Fantasy VII, Super Smash Bros.
Okay, I want to kind of mix these because he said before that, he says, what games coming up on console would you like to see on PC? And it mixes into what he says into the MOBA thing. Super Smash Brothers across all boundaries. I want to see that everywhere. Like, I honestly have considered, because it's not out yet, when the new one comes out, I think I'm going to buy it with four controllers and the game just for one game. Like, Smash Brothers is the best fun you could have in a living room with three other friends, period. This is how true for the last about 8 years in my life. So why wouldn't, you know, even if it's $400, and I have to front the whole thing because nobody else will want to pitch in, it's going to be worth it because I'm going to have that as it. Like, what are we going to do now? We're drunk and there's no chicks around. Let's play Super Smash Brothers. You know what I mean?
So that's a Nintendo exclusive, right? Super Smash Brothers?
It is.
Yeah.
So you got to have that for it.
Have you ever played it, Bob?
Yeah. Well, a long time ago. Probably an older version.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always been really, it's fun. Really good.
As far as this UFC one, though, that would be cool, but you got to make it like, because if you're doing a MOBA system, you got to have like minions and all.
Yeah.
You got to have creeps. So
fans.
The only way, well, the way fans. That I would see it work is like two gangs. It's a street fight. Two gangs of street fighters, and they have their little minion guys that you can just beat up real quick. And then when you guys get to each other, you could do special moves.
I was just thinking of what kind of special move it is to break the other guy's shin bone. Oh, like Anderson Silva.
Yeah. You had said one, though.
Oh, Marvel would be for me. And it's coming down the pipe, right? They do have a MOBA.
The last thing that I read about it was canceled. They were DC and Marvel both had announced them almost simultaneously. DC's obviously out now since we've been playing Infinite Crisis.
And we've been having fun.
Yeah, and we've been having fun. Marvel one, which I think would be even better because I'm not a huge fan of this Infinite Worlds business. I'd rather just play different guys.
I completely agree. And Marvel has a better roster.
Yeah, I think Marvel does have a... DC has bigger headliners.
Right.
But Marvel has a much larger stable of viable characters.
Absolutely.
So I think the Marvel one would be awesome. I wish somebody would do it. I wish somebody would do another third-person one. So
would you say that if the Marvel one did come out, you would want it to be in third-person, right?
Just because I like Smite, and I'd like to see another competition to see how other people would interpret the third-person version.
I'm such a fanboy that I can't even understand the concept of top-downs coming out after Smite. Like, I think Smite is such a game-changer that everybody after Smite should have followed too, but
you, that's just me. You complain about the clicking right in your finger.
My arm gets cramped, man.
Wow. No,
I'm not used to right clicking 300 times.
The other one that I thought was a good idea is putting it actually in first person and making it a first person shooter with a MOBA architecture around it. So you're actually doing first person shooting where you've got to actually shoot people
to some extent,
but it's in a.
I think it's Titanfall to some extent. You have your minions in Titanfall.
Well, Titanfall, there's no like lanes or.
But that's
like,
I don't think that's anything like a MOBA.
Oh, it's not. I haven't played it, so I don't know.
Well,
somebody else.
That would be my first thought. Let's put it in first person. Let's put it in. Make a first person shooter.
I agree.
Because that's the two like big genres right now in my mind, is MOBAs with League of Legends with 30 million whatever users and first-person shooter. If you can put those two together...
Yeah, but if you want the League of Legends players, you're going to have to downgrade your graphics.
Yeah, seriously.
Claymation. I think you have to go back to Claymation.
As far as that, like, new or worlds or whatever, I can't really think of anything that would work.
Besides Marvel. Moment.
Yeah, besides Marvel.
And Garbage Pail Kids.
You know, the theme is not as important to me as the actual gameplay, but I really would like to see something along the lines of Super Monday Night Combat again. Just something with that humor and something with those announcers. Those announcers were so good.
Just Super Night Combat again. I don't know. Do something. But that game...
You guys like that game. I never got into it.
I never played it, though.
The map just threw me off. The multi-levels.
Well, the jungle was upstairs.
It was just too complicated. Like, just make a MOBA.
MOBAs are complicated. Dude, you can't say that was too complicated and then go play Dota, dude. I'm sorry. No. You cannot make that.
That game was more complicated than Dota.
No, it was not.
Not even close.
That game was simpler than...
I didn't know what the...
Because at the end of the day, it comes down to shooting people in the face. MOBA is more... I mean, Dota 2 is more about micromanaging. There's no micromanaging in it.
There's a lot more about pushing lanes, I think, in Super Monday Night Combat. But I will say it was not as good of a game as a lot of these other MOBAs. I'd have to go back.
I'm on your team as far as like the Myth ship. This was something that got away that should have got way more attention. The biggest complaint we have about that game is that people weren't playing it, right?
Yeah, it just did not have a strong community. Yeah. At the time we were playing it, there was about 700 people at any given time in the global chat. And now if you go on there, who knows how many people. It would take you 15 minutes just to get into a game.
I would love to say, hey, guys, go download it. It's going to be amazing, but it's not because the people aren't there. And there's not even a good single-player mode. So
yeah, but they had such a great approach to it. They had comedic value to it. And those announcers, it was amazing. Built like a game show.
Yeah.
And you played characters or athletes in the game, and these two announcers just had such a funny back and forth.
Awesome, dude. Yeah. They were awesome.
Yeah, it was
now, good. Yeah, I want to play it just to see
the announcer's so good.
Yeah, I would just like to see something like that.
Look
again.
Up Super Monday Night Combat.
No, I played some.
No,
with you.
Announcement highlights on YouTube. I'm sure.
Okay.
It's really good. The interplay between those two guys. There's the straight man, and it was just amazing.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. So what's next? What do we got?
There are some early access games that have come out. Either today or very recently. The first one, Magicka Wizard Wars.
I'm a huge fan of Magicka.
So Emilio and I played Magicka for
Bobby,
a while.
You joined in as well. Mm-hmm. We got really far, and then...
If you haven't played Magicka, what was it? Magicka, and then there was an expansion. I forget.
There were several expansions.
Vietnam was one of
them. Yeah.
I love
so
it.
That game's just awesome.
Yeah.
It's fun to play, and the humor is amazing.
So, guys, if you haven't played Magicka at all, it's a top-down isometric game. But instead of just clicking left-click on the spell or number one on the spell, you need to cast the spell. You need to push ADW click, and it'll shoot the spell in the area that you want it. I was thinking about this today. I don't know why. On Street Fighter, you're executing techniques. Just like you would in real fighting, you're doing techniques, and you need to master those techniques. So just like in Magicka, you need to memorize and also execute these things in the right time, and it really pays off. Like, you feel more satisfied when you cast a spell as opposed to left-click on something.
Correct, yeah. I agree 100%. The game itself is fun, and then it's around the shell of this humorous...
Yeah.
World.
Super campy.
Yeah, super, but it pokes fun at itself. It breaks the fourth wall all the time.
Yeah.
It's just a great game. So anyways, they've created a MOBA-style game called Magicka Wizard Wars. It is free early access right now. It's available right now, so you can pick it up. I've tried to play it when the early access came out.
That's a tough review there.
Well, so what happened, the early access came out, they had much more people join than they thought they were going to do. Basically crashed all their servers. I read an open letter from the dev. They had about 2,000 people playing and about like 10,000 people waiting, trying to play.
Jeez.
So they're trying to update their hardware. They're trying to get more servers up and going. So at this point, you know,
stress test failed.
Yeah, if you're interested in playing, it's free right now. It's an MMO. It's a MOBA style but I don't think it follows a conventional lane. I haven't actually gotten in yet to play, so I can't tell you. That's tough. I think it doesn't follow conventional MOBAs. So
now, I'm going to tell you the only reason I didn't download this is I was like, oh, there's already people out there that are wizards, literal wizards at casting these these spells. I'm like, I'm going to get smoked. So that's why I was like, if it comes down to actual skills per spell, I'm going to get smoked. And that's why I didn't download it. But I love the Magicka thing.
Yeah.
The only reason we didn't finish the game is because I think the save file was on one of our computers. I think it was mine. And that's when my computer crashed and we lost the face file. And we didn't want to start over. So
yeah. But I will be playing this in the next couple weeks, so I'll tell you guys what my thoughts are on it.
Cool.
The next one that came out today, as of the 30th of May, was The Forest. This is early access. It is $14.99 for the early access. But this is a game that I've kind of been looking forward to. I don't really do the scary games too much, but this game has is so atmospheric, it's seen from the videos. It's kind of Rust like. You're in a forest and you can like chop down trees and build things, but it's got this atmospheric feel where these cannibals are trying to kill you. So it's not zombies. They have intelligence to them. They do crazy things like hang people up and have like tribal things going on, but it looks really, really good, really scary. So it's kind of a survival crafting game, but with more of a scary feel to it.
Am I way off here if I brought up that you said that this game was VR supported? Isn't this the game? It sounds a lot like the game that you were seeing for Oculus. Is it the same game?
So this game, I believe the creators of this were people that were doing CG for movies. So it's got this very CG feel to it, I believe. Now, I'm not 100% sure.
Right.
But I think this game, so all the stuff is designed with a kind of a CG and a movie feel to it. So there's a lot of stuff going on. So I'm going to be downloading this. I know, Bobby, this has been on your list as well.
I've had my eye on this one. It does look good. It's survival horror. It's got, or it uses the Unity engine, which is just everywhere these days. Same thing that Rust uses. Draws a lot of...
Same thing, by the way, Hearthstone uses. Unity's everywhere.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, it looks like a single-player Rust with a horror spin on it. It looks good, and I've heard a lot of people praise it over the graphics. And they do look nice, especially for the Unity engine. So I'll probably check this one out. I'm very close. There's a good chance I'm going to buy this one tonight. It's $15. It's early access. I don't see this going on sale anytime soon.
And there's no multiplayer, right?
No.
And the other one that early access that opened today was The Stomping Land. So I hadn't heard about this until recently.
I'm a fanboy already. Done deal.
So this is $24.99 early access. And basically, to me, it seemed like Rust, but you are tribesmen. You're tribesmen. Yoke tribesmen. And you're in a prehistoric time and there's dinosaurs. So picture yourself crafting and picking up resources, trying to survive, but there's dinosaurs around. And so you've got to like survive well, T-Rexes. And it's got a cool idea. You know me, I hate zombies. So this is kind of Rust without the zombies. And that's cool. And the videos I've seen of this look, the dinosaurs look pretty good.
Dude, so anything that breaks us down to like our roots, like this whole... everything has you mining, you know. Mm-hmm. This more has you mining meat, basically, is what it is. But we just watched the video right before the podcast, them trying to advertise the whole thing. You could totally tell it's one of the devs, you know. It's just one of, like, a guy like us. And what he's saying, basically, is killing the smaller dinosaurs is easy. But once the T-Rexes smell it, that's your issue. Like, you need to protect that meat while you're trying to harvest it. So you set up traps and stuff. And anything you can think of, flares, fire, anything to deter the bigger dinosaurs from. And then eventually, at the end of the video, they show you riding a dinosaur. So that's kind of cool. I gave particular attention to his wording on your bow will not affect the T-Rex, which means something will, the way I interpreted it. So I would say probably the first half of the game, you can't do anything to the T-Rex because eventually you could probably ride a dinosaur and try to take one down.
Well, when we talked about Rust a lot, one of the suggestions that we came up with was we'd like to see bigger monsters that people would have to team up to take down. And I think that's what we're seeing here with the Stomping Land. Like, you're going to have to collaborate with people in order to take down these giant dinosaurs.
Yep. And more meat for everybody, right? If you take down T-Rex.
Yeah. So there is an incentive for you to group up and be, you know, be friendly to other players.
The other thing that's mentioned in this is that it's talking about trying to be the biggest tribe on the island.
Mm. Which is happening on Rust every server.
So I think there's an element of player versus player or some element of it.
But that is nominalized. Like, just like what Bobby was saying, it's nominalized by a bigger threat.
Yeah, theoretically. None of us have played this yet. But
just like if aliens came to Earth, all our cultural stuff would just shatter and we'd all bind together or whatever the fuck it is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We'd forget our differences. Just like that's how it would work out in Rust. Is like, if there was a big monster, we'd be working together instead of working against each other.
I don't know if we'd all just group up and hold hands if aliens showed up, though.
No, it would totally work. The power of prayer, man.
Yeah, I'd be like, see you, dudes. I'm joining the alien side. All right. So, yeah, we talked about that just a little bit on a previous podcast a while ago.
About what?
About the Stomping Land.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We didn't have a name for it, though. Somebody said it, and I was like, that sounds like the best game I've ever played.
No, we brought it up. It had a name back then, but there really wasn't a whole lot to go off of at that point.
It's looking good, though.
Yeah, it's something to keep your eye on. Well, what else we got? What's up with Battlecry?
Okay, so somebody heard my cries and came out with the perfect fucking game. Okay, first, it's from Bethesda, my favorite game developer.
Okay.
Okay, so they're from, you know, they do Skyrim, Fallout 3, you know, two of my favorite games. And now
the RPG experts.
Yes, but this is not an RPG.
Okay,
now they're coming out with their team-based first-person shooter, non-gun game. So think World of the Roses, but it's in the future, so it's steampunk. But there's this thing called the Gunpowder Act, Gunpowder Treaty. There's no gunpowder allowed in their wars. So it's all hack and slash or like bows and arrows. That's it. But it's steampunk. So it's in the future, but nothing, no grenades or anything like that. And it's team-based and it's class. So there's a bunch of classes. And if I know anything about the studio, they do things right. So...
Wow, that sounds
I'm
cool.
I'm really excited about this.
I mean, is this coming out soon, or what's...
2015.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's two things at play here. One, basically, if I were going to write down a game that I was going to enjoy, it would be something that sounded just like this. I've thought about TF2 Melee only more than I would like to admit. And two, it's Bethesda, which does my favorite games of all time. It's almost like I dreamt this up. You know, I can't wait for this film out. I really hope that it lives up to my hype, which nothing ever does.
Hmm. Wow, 32-person online multiplayer.
Yeah.
Okay.
16v16. Yep.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
The Gunpowder Treaty. Doesn't that just sound like something that would exist or something like that?
Well, I mean, like, if it's in the future, wouldn't we be talking about lasers and stuff like that anyways?
Well, I think it's post-apocalyptic.
So that's interesting. The game director on this is Viktor Antonov. That is the guy who designed Dunwall from Dishonored and City 17 from Half-Life 2.
Which are both kind of like...
Yeah, and I recently read an article, an interview with this guy on Eurogamer.net. It's an old article. You can look it up fairly easily. But he was talking about why he left Valve. The way he described it, it was like he didn't even leave Valve. He just... said the project is more important than the company. I was with Valve to work on Half-Life 2, and then they started doing episodic gaming with the episode 1 and 2, and I was really about, you know, bigger projects and making big giant masterpieces and stuff. So I thought that
was interesting. He wasn't disgruntled. He was just
he didn't leave it, but I thought that was interesting. He valued the project over the company. That's an interesting way of looking at it. He is known for his designing those levels, so that's cool.
Wow, now I'm excited about that.
Yeah, but 2015 is like, oh, fuck. You know, Cliffy B just tweeted something out the other day because he's kind of like upset about how E3 works. It's like here's this fucking fake video that you can watch that looks kind of like the first thing you showed me from Next Gen was the True Deep or something deep. And it was about that dude that was about to fight the dragon. He was a knight. Do you remember the graphics on that? And they swore up and down that this is an engine and it's running it. Meanwhile, the game
is that the one with the dragon breathing fire on the shield?
Yeah, exactly.
Splitting.
Okay. Meanwhile, that game doesn't look anything near as good as that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they said that, you know, that's going to, you know. So what he said is, hey, how about on E3, you present your game final finish thing. Everybody plays it. You won E3. Done deal. Instead of like saying, obviously, there's a lot of money behind buzz and like hyping things up.
Yeah, we're talking about with Watch Dogs.
Yeah. But if you showed up with a final product that nobody knew about, you would win E3 for that year, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, you would be the Watch Dogs of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, the reason Watch Dogs got so much hype even a year and a half ago when they were first at E3, they just showed gameplay amidst all these other game trailers and, you know, CG
true
movies.
Gameplay.
Yeah, they just showed 10 minutes of gameplay of the game. And that's, you know, that's a bold move. That's what a PC gamer wants to see, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love, I always bring it up. I don't think I brought it up on podcast, but in the UK, you can't show pre-rendered graphics in your commercials on TV. And why would you? Like, it's just kind of like you're trying to sell a movie, but instead of showing things from the movie, you're showing pretty pictures. It's not a representation of what you're actually buying.
It's not an accurate representation. That's always been a problem, though. I remember buying Nintendo.
But it's not a problem in the UK, is what I'm saying. They pass a law where you can't.
Yeah, but people in the UK can still go on the internet and see things on YouTube, and that's where most people are getting their media anyway. They go and watch a gameplay trailer on YouTube.
But don't you look up gameplay? You look up gameplay, don't we all? Look up gameplay. If you're deciding to buy a game or not, what do you look up? Gameplay. You don't look up trailers.
Sometimes I do. Like, I mean,
Trailers are awesome. Some are really awesome.
Yeah, trailers are fun.
But I'm saying people are probably being exposed more to these trailers. The average gamer is probably being exposed more to these trailers than actual gameplay footage.
But
as far as advertising
goes, I think
goes.
As a PC gamer, we maybe, you know,
we're jaded.
No, but maybe when we're young, you know, some of this stuff. But you learn really quickly as a PC gamer to protect yourself against some of this stuff, like. This is your money, and if you want to spend it, then you got to be spending it wisely.
We learned this.
But
there's a lot of dumb people out there.
But I think those are the casual PC gamers that pick up one or two things a year versus the person that the hardcore PC gamer, they understand this stuff, and they're there to do the research and to do it. I mean, you're a PC gamer for a reason. You're on the PC. If you don't do your research on a PC, it's there right in front of you. If you don't do it, then you're in for a rough ride.
I did. That totally makes sense. Anyway, this one's running a little long, so there's just a couple things I want to bring up at the very end real quick. That's
cool.
The first one of the podcast. So Samsung and Oculus, last week I said that Samsung said, hey, we're going to beat you guys to market, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So Zuckerberg, I don't know how much he is on the ground floor on this, but he's no fool, right? So he's like, I'm not going to take on Samsung. I'm just going to, he didn't buy them. I don't think he can buy them. But he said.
He probably could.
He probably could. That's a scary thing. But he's working with them now. So one of the biggest problems with the Oculus that they were having was the actual screens. Getting the numbers, the sheer numbers of just screens at a cheap price that you need. You know, that shit adds up. So what they've done is they partnered with Samsung, who is, it's a perfect marriage of two companies. What Samsung is getting out of this is the best VR guys in the world and the Oculus team, right? What the Oculus team is getting is the best screen providers in the world, which is the new OLEDs that are coming out. Anybody remember what the O stands for? Is it organic or...
Yeah,
oxygen?
I'm not sure.
Something. Anyway, they're putting them on their newest phones, these OLEDs.
The super bright ones, right?
Super bright, yeah. So what they're working towards, and this sounds ridiculous and like something I made up, but this is truly what's literally in the works, is a phone that you can strap to your face. So there's going to be a phone that you use, let's say the Galaxy X6, right? And I don't know if it's going to be curved or whatever, but there's going to be some kind of apparatus to strap it to your face and have VR on the fly. Hmm. Like, they are literally working towards Facebook, where you get to meet and have lunch with your grandma in real time across the country. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're not concerned with the game part. That's what the Oculus guys are for. Samsung's worried about mass market. So is Facebook. So they're doing that. But in between is these Oculus guys that really know how to make it feel. So it's like Oculus is making all the right moves. First of all, take $1 billion from Zuckerberg. Sure, he'll need it. Right? Now we got all this backing. Second of all, oh, there's a competitor on the rise. Let's be friends. From what I've read, it just seems like all good things, you know, working on them.
If Samsung was developing their own, like, are they just scrapping all that then? I mean...
No. I think, well, this is all speculative. I'm not in the trenches, as it were, when it comes to the front lines of technology. But, okay, this is what we come up with. Oh, yeah, we're totally going to beat them to market. And then I really wonder what they're working on over there. Hey, guys, this is what we're working on. Here's a NDA. Sign this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I see that.
There's a lot to be said for collaboration, and I'm all for it.
One of my concerns with the Oculus was, if they're not hardware manufacturers, then how well are they going to make
this? And now they have that.
And now if they do truly partner with Samsung with a hardware manufacturer, that could be a big win for Oculus.
Yep, absolutely. And then I had one more thing.
Something about Microsoft and Skype.
So this is somewhat game related, but not really. So Skype and Microsoft.
Well, we use Skype to game. So.
All the time. Yeah. We used to use all these other ones, right?
Ventrilo.
Mumble. All these other, Mumble. Yeah. Everything. And then one day, I would say maybe the beginning of last year, maybe a little bit before that, we realized, oh, Skype's way easier. Yeah. And way better quality than any of these. And not to shit on them, because they were the first to market and they were free. So you can't really shit on all those other platforms there was. But Skype brings the power of a lot of money and like huge bandwidth. And it just sounds crystal clear.
For the most part.
For the most part. You'll run into problems, but there was more problems on those other things. Like, what's your IP again, bro? No. Send it over to me on fucking
Steam. Yeah, that was the problem with
passwords. Yeah. Passwords and all that stuff.
Having to set up Ventrilo servers.
Yeah. So, you know, these are all things of the past. But I don't know if Skype is... They must be affiliated with Microsoft. But anyway, so they do this TED Talk type of presentation, but it wasn't on TED. They have a real-time language converter now. Dude, it's amazing. They did a demo between two people talking, one in German, one in English. How are you doing? I'm doing fine. How are you? John says, like, dude, it was amazing. And they had an entire conversation with little tiny, words that wouldn't come up in normal conversation. You wouldn't think, like, tech demo and stuff like that. And it did a perfect translation of all that stuff. So,
I'm highly skeptical of that.
I saw it working, so.
Well, look at Google Translate. If they can't even get that right, how are they going to do translation?
First of all.
Maybe so, but how is Microsoft light years beyond Google Translate? Come on.
We are very close to being able to do this stuff. Like, Google Translate and all these other ones, they're getting there. I'm not sure we're there yet, so I'm a little skeptical like you, but I know what you're saying. Like,
yeah, but watch the demo, guys.
But it could be just... It could be two people creating their own voice, right? It's probably a staged thing.
Yes, it was staged. Yeah. Like, she knew she was going to get a call, right?
Yeah.
And maybe what they were going to talk about was staged, right?
Yeah.
But they talked about how, like, once we speak, teach it Spanish, it gets better at German and English. And then we teach it Dutch, and it gets better at everything else. Like, every time it learns that, and they don't know why. Like, the guy honestly said, we don't know why this program gets better with every language we adapt, but it does. And just watch the demo. It's pretty fucking amazing. Anyway, so what I wanted to bring it back to gaming was, you know, you have these cross-country, pan-national teams being formed for these, you know, MOBAs mostly. It's kind of cool.
Like Counter-Strike and all those
things. Yeah, it's kind of cool that you might have multilingual now. That's now in the mix. You know, it probably wasn't before. You know, there was multinational, but if the guy didn't know English, he was fucked. Or if he didn't know Chinese, he was fucked. So now, you know.
But English is the universal language. Like, most countries know it to one degree.
The white.
Okay, true.
That guilt guy.
True. I'm American, a white American.
No, it is the language of trade or whatever it's called. What did you just call it?
The lingua franca.
That wasn't even it.
Was it?
Look, lingua franca.
And I don't doubt you. I haven't heard that term before.
Go get a haircut, big fan. Last week, fellas, he was telling us about how much he needed a haircut. This week,
I've been saying that for months.
Longer hair.
Yeah, it just keeps getting longer. No, the lingua franca. All right, look at it. Google. But I'm very skeptical of things.
Welcome
like
to the worst part of the podcast, where we just break down into mumbles.
No, I will be excited when that actually happens. If it can translate on the fly and not slow down conversation, that will be amazing.
But no, don't get me wrong. It's, I jumped over a frog. Yo brinque over. Like, it's right over. It's not real time.
No,
but it's right after, and it is.
And the other thing that I don't like,
I just realized I can't say jump over a frog in Spanish.
Wow, that's...
Yo brinqué over un rana. Okay, there we go.
The other thing that has always bothered me is they still can't get the voice right. It still seems robotic. It doesn't seem organic. Yeah. It doesn't seem human yet.
What's interesting is...
Just like when you look at the eyes in CG and you just can tell that it's CG. Everything could be perfect, but the eyes still look dead.
Yeah.
Until they figure that out, CG is not going to replace live action. And until they get the voice right, it still won't replace humans talking.
Well, we're always working our way towards better technology like this. Yeah. I'm sure it'll eventually happen.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk when it comes to these new amazing things that are right around the corner, but until it's on a shelf at Best Buy or on Amazon with free shipping, I really don't care. That's my two cents.
Debbie Downer once again.
Yep. Call me Emilio Futurist and Bobby Caveman.
Shut down.
Consider that.
All right, this is a long one. Cool. Shut it down.
Anything else?
Two things. Please try to subscribe. Please try to rate if you've already subscribed.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
it. Don't email us. Nothing else. If you get those two things done, I'd be very, very happy.
Cool.